Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are brought to you by My Patriot Supply. With all the risk we have for supply chain disruptions, with all that could happen between now and the election, are you prepared for what could happen to your food supply? Do you know in a crisis, the stores empty out maximum 3 days, minimum same day? Houston, Katrina, we have lots of experience with this. Isn't it good that you would have a storehouse? Well, you should. My Patriot Supply will provide for you a vast variety of foods to choose from where you won't get sick of eating the same thing. It tastes good and it lasts for 25 years. You get over 2,000 calories because you're eating to survive at that point when you're into your storable food. And it's something you can count on. I would recommend that you grab yours while it's still available. Great discount supply. All you have to do is go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, we have a presentation here that I hope you'll find worthy of sharing. Because I think if you show this to a lot of undecided people, they'll be very decided in the fact that they can't support Kamala Harris, even if they don't like Donald Trump personally, that Kamala Harris cannot be left in charge. The only thing I come away with, the overriding arching thing, and see if you agree with this, is after watching this, it's really clear she has no plan, and she is merely going to be a rubber stamp for the deep state. Much like Joe Biden. We're going to go and take a look at her recent interview on MSNBC with a reporter who has fervently defended her to the point of screaming at guests who dare to disagree with her. She's not running for perfect to do you. It's misogynistic to ask her her policies. And yet, when this same reporter asks about her policies, she doesn't give satisfactory answers. We'll let you decide, and hopefully, like I said, you'll find this worthy of sharing far and wide. Here's the interview, and we'll stop it periodically to review what we've seen. This is extremely revealing.
Madam Vice President, you just laid out your economic vision for the future.
Yeah.
But still, there are lots of Americans who don't see themselves in your plans. For those who say these policies aren't for me, what do you say to them?
Well, if you are hardworking, if you have the dreams and the ambitions and the aspirations of what I believe you do, you're in my plan. You know, I have to tell you, I really.
Well, let me just start right at the top here. There are plenty of ambitious and hardworking people in third world countries that have governments that rob them blind and deny opportunity to prevent competition with the elite class. But what I heard her say is all you got to do is work hard, you're in my plan. Well, what plan will that be? That's what we need to focus on right here.
Love and I'm so energized by what I know to be the spirit and character of the American people. We have ambition, we have aspirations, we have dreams, we can see what's possible, we have an incredible work ethic, but not everyone has the access to the opportunities that allow them to achieve those things. But we don't lack for those things. But not everyone, you know, gets handed stuff on a silver platter. And
Well, wait a minute. Now, how are you going to provide those opportunities? Unless you're working for the government, how are you going to provide those opportunities? Where is the plan? You just have to be hardworking? Well, previous comment still stands. When we take a look at this, all I hear is circular reasoning, platitudes, common euphemisms without any substance or detail whatsoever.
And so, my vision for the economy, I call it an opportunity economy, is about making sure that all Americans, wherever they start, wherever they are, have the ability to actually achieve those dreams and those ambitions, which include, for middle-class families, just being able to know that their hard work allows them to get ahead, right? I think we can't and we shouldn't aspire to have an economy that just allows people to get by. People want to do more than just get by. They want to get ahead. And I come from the middle class. Look, my mother raised my sister and me. She worked hard. She saved up. By the time I was a teenager, she was able to buy our first home. And
how many times do we have to listen to this crap? I'm the middle class. I made it. Well, not everyone can sleep their way to the top, horizontal Harris. But that insult aside, the bottom line is you don't hear one specific. You know what Donald's Trump plan is? Get the hell out of the way and let people fulfill their ambition. Let business do their job by deregulation, which makes conducting business, thus limiting income, it makes it impossible when you have over-controlling government. Does she represent free enterprise or communist enterprise? I think her record speaks clearly.
You know, home ownership for too many people in our country now is elusive. You know, gone is the day of everyone thinking they could actually live the American dream. So part of my vision for the economy is let's deal with some of the everyday challenges that people face and address them with common sense solutions, such as affordable housing.
Affordable housing. Okay, well, first of all, to have affordable housing, you have to have somewhat of a lucrative job, particularly with the market that she has helped to create in the last 4 years, where mortgage rates in many cases have doubled. So what's the plan? And you can see the frustration on the interviewer's face, who, like I said, is a rabid defender of her against anyone that comes on MSNBC that dares to question her. Now she's sitting in the seat of bewilderment and not quite sure how to handle it.
Over the last 4 years, there have been tremendous economic wins, and you've just laid out a big plan. But still, polling shows that most likely voters still think Donald Trump is better to handle the economy. Why do you think that is?
Well, here's what I know in terms of the facts. Donald Trump left us with the worst economy since the Great Depression when you look at, for example, the employment numbers.
It was during COVID, and employment was so high because we shut down the government, we shut down the country.
Even before the pandemic, he lost manufacturing jobs by most people's estimates, at least 200,000.
That is an absolute lie that she cannot substantiate.
He lost manufacturing plants. Ask the auto workers how he lost auto plants. We have grown.
Gee, if that was the case, then why are the labor union rank and file supporting Donald Trump, even though the leadership of the unions is too chicken bleeper to turn on their Democratic supporters, the ones that give them the nice little perks, the good trips and so forth? But the rank and file saying something different, Kamala. They don't want you. 60% of them support Donald Trump, and this is unprecedented for a Republican to be supported in this manner.
Grown over 20 new auto plants. He has an agenda. Let's just deal with right now going forward, not to mention what happened in the past. He has an agenda that would include making it more difficult for workers to earn overtime, an agenda that would include cutting off access to small business loans for small businesses.
Let's take a couple of those one at a time here. He has said that he would like to see no taxes on overtime. Well, this benefits the business, this benefits the worker, and it would make government tighten their belt. She's completely wrong.
An agenda that includes tariffs to the point that the average working person will spend 20% more on everyday necessities.
And where does she draw that figure from? Here's the problem she has. She's running against her own failed economy for the last 4 years. And Donald Trump's economy, when he did tariffs, here's what he did with countries. He said, you can be reasonable or we're going to tariff the hell out of you. If you start cutting into American business and taking American jobs, we're going to tariff you. That protects the American worker. He turned around and told the corporations, I'll tariff your products when they come back into the country. However, if you stay here, we'll get you a tax break. This is what led to unprecedented growth in the Trump administration pre-COVID. And she is totally trying to rewrite history. And it's amazing because she's quick to make up lies about Trump's past record, which is very public, but she has no plan of her own.
And an estimated $4,000 more a year on those everyday necessities,
Where?
to the point that top
Crew?
economists in our country, from Nobel laureates to people at Moody's and Goldman Sachs, have compared my plan with his and said my plan would grow the economy, his would shrink the economy.
Wait a minute. What I've heard from her are wage and price controls. They have failed everywhere that they have been tried. That's the first thing. The second thing is she wants to give $25,000 for down payment to first-time home buyers. Well, if you need $25,000 for the down payment, you sure as hell can't afford the monthly mortgage payment. Now, can you? So this is going to lead to more housing failures. It's also going to inflate the price of the housing market, thus making housing more unobtainable for people, regardless of whether they get the $25,000 or not. And I haven't heard Goldman Sachs support this. I haven't heard Wall Street support this. In fact, the Wall Street Journal's coming out with daily op-eds every day criticizing her lack of transparency, her lack of detail and plans, and basically criticizing her campaign. The Wall Street Journal, traditionally a Democratic voice, criticizing Kamala Harris.
Some of them have actually assessed that his plan would increase inflation and invite a recession by the middle of next year. So
When Donald Trump left office, inflation was 1.3%. Do you have 1.3% people since she's come into office?
the facts remain that Donald Trump has a history of taking care of very rich people. And I'm not mad at anybody for being rich, but they should pay their fair share. But tax cuts.
Let's talk about the fair share. The UN attempting to install world government is evidence. I mean, everything the conspiracy theorists have said for the last 30 years came true this last week when the UN approved world government. And they're calling it global governance. Well, what the hell do you think that means? Well, what they call for is a minimum corporate tax of 21%. The world is charging 21%. The ones who are submitting to the UN. That's not good enough for Kamala Harris. She's charging 28%. That's in her plan. Now, what do you think the corporations are going to do? They are going to fire their employees and they're going to relocate overseas. First of all, that's devastating to our tax base, not to mention the personal cost of unemployment. And I look at this and I'm saying, how could she possibly defend? And she says, he's giving tax breaks to the rich. Well, you're soaking the corporations so they won't even be here.
Cuts for the billionaires and the top corporations in our country, and then
Myth.
not really paying much attention to middle class families. My perspective on the economy is when you grow the middle class, America's economy is stronger. And there's empirical evidence to prove my point correct. Then let me.
Well, yeah, when the middle class is employed and businesses are doing good, thus being able to raise the pay of their employees, they do well. What's her plan to do that? We haven't heard a word about it.
Let me ask you about taxes, because lots of people will say, I don't like Donald Trump, but he cut my taxes. He didn't just cut corporate taxes, he cut individual taxes. Now that expires next year, and there's some people confused saying, I don't know what's going to happen next year. Under a Harris administration, at what income level should someone expect their taxes to go up? And that state and local tax deduction that's currently capped and matters to a lot of people in blue states, are you going to lift that cap?
So, first of all, when it relates to anybody making less than $400,000 a year, your taxes will not go up. Your taxes will not go up. And in fact, under my plan, taxes for...
You know, that may be true. I don't trust her. Do you trust her after what's happened the last 4 years? But let's assume she's telling the truth, just for argument's sake. If the businesses relocate or go broke because of the tax burden, tell me, higher taxes or unemployment? What would you take? Well, if you had to choose between the two and didn't have a choice, you would choose to be employed and pay the higher tax.
100 million Americans will actually be cut, including $6,000 a year for young couples for the first year of their child's life in a tax cut, a tax credit, essentially, by expansion of the child tax credit.
Well, let's see. If Bill Gates had a late in life childbirth with a new spouse, do you think he'd qualify for the $6,000? What are the restrictions? That's my point, that they'll put on this. And are we supposed to universally say this is such a great thing? We have a declining birth rate in this country. And to say that this somehow is going to be magical for the economy, and this is my lift up for the middle class, a $6,000, it's ridiculous. And I believe Trump is championing $3,000. Do you think the $3,000 difference is worth even talking about in this interview? I mean, the effect will be infinitesimal at best.
And why is that? Because during the first year of a young couple, of a person's child's life, they are going to need help buying a crib, buying a car seat. And we all benefit when they're actually able to do what they naturally want to do to take care of their child.
And expanding that child tax credit, or you mentioned housing before, giving that extra money for a first home. If you can't raise corporate taxes, or if GOP takes control of the Senate, where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow?
Well,
right now, the latest polls show that the seat distribution in the Senate is likely to be 51 GOP, 47 Democrat, with two undecided. That's a very good question. I can't believe on MSNBC they ask that kind of question with any kind of insight. Because if you don't control both houses, is what she's saying, how are you going to get your plan through?
But we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying.
That's just it. They're going to have to do what I say. I don't care if the GOP controls these houses. Well, there's just no other option. In other words, she doesn't have a plan. It's that simple. She doesn't have a plan.
Paying their fair share. I am not mad at anyone for achieving success, but everyone should pay their fair share. And it is not right that the teachers and the firefighters that I meet every day across our country are paying a higher tax than the richest people in our country.
Bill Gates just said it this week. If he was in charge of taxes, he would have paid more. But how do you find that line to make sure corporations are paying their fair share, but they're not leaving our country?
Well, listen, I work with a lot of CEOs. I have spent a lot of time with CEOs. And I'm going to tell you that the business leaders who are actually part of the engine of America's economy agree that people should pay their fair share. They also agree that when we look at a plan such as mine that is about investing in the middle class, investing in new industries.
What is she investing? First of all, if government invests in workers, that's absolute socialism. And there is no room for growth. And she says, I know CEOs. Well, that doesn't help you solve the problem. Again, no answer. Circular reasoning.
Investing in bringing down costs. Invest in entrepreneurs like small businesses, that the overall economy is stronger and everyone benefits. Part of my plan for the economy is investing in new industries in a way that we have active partnership with the private sector. I've worked with the private sector.
Again, that's socialism. And what she's referring to there, without saying it's climate scam. And climate scam technologies have not proven to be beneficial to anyone, except if you own the rights to certain minerals like silver in the process. Those people are making good money. But this is a failed endeavor. But what's really disturbing is she's telling you right there, I'm a socialist. I'm a Marxist. And she right there admits to it.
My entire career. I, even as vice president, working with some of the biggest banks and biggest tech companies to increase by billions of dollars the money going into community banks to increase access to capital for small businesses. Why do those biggest corporations and CEOs do that? Because they know those kinds of investments, like in our small businesses, in startups and entrepreneurs, actually strengthens America's economy overall and everyone benefits. So this.
Huh? I'm sorry, I can't begin to decipher this. This is just nonsensical.
This is not about bilking anybody, but it is certainly about saying, let's make sure that we create opportunities for everyone to grow wealth. I believe that.
How does government create opportunities for jobs? They stay the hell out of the way. That's how they do it. And yet she's talking about doing the opposite. And when you add in wage and price controls, which she firmly believes in, show me a country, Argentina, the old Soviet Union, Nixon when he did it during the Vietnam War. No, they have never worked. They've been catastrophic.
It is not sufficient, and it should not be our goal to just make sure everyone is working. That should be the baseline. That should be a given. And let's create an economy where people have the ability to buy a home, to start a business, to take a nice vacation from time to time, right?
For people who want to buy a home, yes, getting a $25,000 kicker would be great. But it's not just affording a home. We don't have enough in this
You're
country.
absolutely.
Yeah, let's just talk about this for a second, okay? Who's going to pay for the 25,000? Well, the same people that they're trying to buy votes from with regard to college student loans. My education, I earned. No one paid for my education. I earned what I got, whether it was a scholarship or it came out of my own pocket, I had to pay for it. I didn't ask for anybody else to pay for my education. Yet that's what this administration's doing with college student loans because they're trying to buy the votes of people that have the student loans. Well, now she's saying to people who want to have home ownership, I'm your person. I'm going to give you 25,000. Why in the hell should the rest of us pay for someone else to buy a home? We got our own problems to deal with. Thank you very much. My job is not to support my neighbor buying a home. And that's what she's saying. And when you really break this down, this is no more than bribery for votes in a plan that can't work and will never work and probably will never even be implemented.
Absolutely right.
And one of the main problems are regulations and rules, strict rules at a local level. How does the federal government cut through all that red tape and get down to, I know, the suburbs of Pittsburgh and say, we're going to have to build some affordable housing here? How do you connect the two?
So you're absolutely right. So across our country, people rightly are concerned about the cost of housing. So it's home ownership, to your point. We need more supply. That is, without any question, part of the solution. Creating more supply under my plan includes creating tax incentives to work with the private sector and home builders. Part of my goal and the plan would be to create 3 million new housing units for rent and for ownership by the end of my first term. It includes also what we must do to cut red tape. You're absolutely right. It takes far too long, and there's too much bureaucracy associated with home building. And I say that as a devout public servant. I know that we have to reduce the red tape and speed up what we need to do around building. And
Now, let's deal with this as the final issue because, quite frankly, if I do any more, my head's going to explode. She wants to build 3 million homes of government housing. It seems to me that in a history class I learned somewhere, this is exactly what Stalin did in Russia. And then he assigned people where to live. I don't know the amount of homes he built, but it was certainly part of the Soviet communist policies. And this is what she's emulating right here. And where is this money going to come from to build these 3 million homes. And then who are you going to put into these homes? And see, this is where she never answers that question. I've tried to listen to every interview she's done, which is an easy job because she doesn't do them. But I have never heard her address with your 3 million homes, who's going to live there? Is it going to be illegal aliens? Well, that's a non-starter for about 90% of this nation. Is it going to be people who don't belong in home ownership because they can't afford it? This is something that is just, this is nonsensical. I feel like I'm listening and watching a child finger paint. She has no clue what she's doing. She's never held a real job. She's never run a business. She never worked at McDonald's, as she says. I mean, that's an absolute lie, and there's no records produced to prove that point. She's moved away from that now. All she can say is, I was raised in a middle-class family. Well, that's a lie, too. She went to rich private schools. Her parents were professors. There was nothing middle-class about her background. And someone should ask her, too, if I want to be controversial, about the Ford Foundation. Why was her and her sister Maya involved in the Ford Foundation? I'll leave that as a mystery for you to go do a, just go do a search term on it. Go to DuckDuckGo, put in Maya and Kamala Harris and the Ford Foundation, and be prepared to be surprised at what you find. What we have here is, I would call it the administration of finger painting. And this is what you're going to get, America, if you put her in. I don't care if you like Donald Trump. I don't care if you think it's disgusting. He says, I hate Taylor Swift, which he should not be saying. But do you really want this? And it's not, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Can America take 4 more years of this? And of course, we're seeing weaponization of federal agencies against their political enemies. Do you want to live in a society like that? That's what Stalin did. I don't want to live in a society like that because sooner or later, they're going to get around to everyone who doesn't bend the knee. And what's happened with Mayor Adams in New York is representative of that. We're going to cover that in the next segment. Hey, check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting. Real problems, real solutions. We get 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms. Sign up today, thecommonsenseshow.tv. And also, we got a newsletter on our website, thecommonsenseshow.com. And to sign up for it, all we need is your email. The sign up for it is in the upper right-hand corner at thecommonsenseshow.com, and you'll be kept up to date of everything we do, the shows, the broadcasts, the articles that we write, articles of friends that we bring in that we publish. You really want to be a part of that. So go to thecommonsenseshow.com and sign up for our newsletter. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And I know this has been a painful experience. It's like fingernails on the chalkboard, but we got to take it apart.